This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, Marilyn Heath will be talking about judge-scribe relationships, and Janice Etzold will explain why symmetry is important to the dressage rider. But we begin by taking a look at the USDF education calendar for our continued education, which is very important to judges, instructors, and riders. In the next couple of months, the USDF has several opportunities available for all types and levels of dressage enthusiast, including an instructor-trainer program, final exam, and FEI workshop. An L education program, both part one and two, the adult clinics, junior young rider clinics, a sport horse youth breeders seminar, and several adult and youth regional team competitions. For the complete list and contact information for these events, please visit the education calendar on the USDF website at usdf.org, and there will also be a link in the show notes to this episode. And our first guest this week is Marilyn Heath, who is a U.S. Equestrian Federation Senior Dressage Judge and L Program faculty member. Marilyn is here to expand on her latest Judges Box article entitled Teamwork, the Judge-Scribe Relationship. Marilyn, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, it is a very broad topic, isn't it? The judge's perspective. And how long, for a start, have you been, just to familiarize our listeners, how long have you been judging?
Well, I've been judging since the early 70s. I got my small R in 79, my S, which was then an I, in 89. So I've been judging for a long time.
And what drew you to judging? What is the appeal of being in the judge's box?
Well, I didn't start out with that in mind. It was very different when I became a judge. I started getting invitations to judge at events, to judge the dressage at events, and you didn't have to be a judge at that time. And I said, well, I'm not a judge, and they said, well, we hear you have a good eye. Would you give it a try? So that's how I got started judging, and I enjoyed it. So it went from there.
Well, we all know that there are many key attributes to being a judge, but what would you say are the most important as far as you're concerned?
It's a huge responsibility to be a judge because the future of the sport rests on the judge's shoulders. It's important to judge according to a standard to reward correct basics, because riders and trainers will produce what judges reward. So judges need to reward correct basics and to satisfy the criteria of the movement as stated in the rule book. And it's important that everybody knows what those criteria are. So it's important to use the USEF rule book as a resource, as a textbook, not just for rules, but to understand the dressage principles.
And also to keep yourself up to date, I'm sure, with those ever-changing rules.
Absolutely. It's not just up to date on the ever-changing rules, but it's up to date on dressage philosophies as well. Learning is a never-ending task, and it's important that judges be humble and strive for improvement continually.
Does that mean you watch what trainers and clinicians around the world are doing in terms of adjusting the philosophy of competition dressage today based on classical dressage, Marilyn?
No, I don't think so. I think that the riders and trainers should follow the lead of the judges. Right. I don't think it's appropriate for judges to adjust their philosophies and their scores according to what they see in the ring. Yeah. I think that would be a disaster.
An important perception there. And from the judge's point of view then, I mean, the conceptions, misconceptions that there are about judges and judging, that's a natural follow-up to that question. What do you think those misconceptions often are from your perspective?
Yes. I think some riders think that judges are their adversary, and the opposite is true. Judges enjoy giving high scores. And my philosophy is I teach judges to give as high a score as their conscience allows without rewarding poor training or poor riding. But judges are on the side of the horse and the rider, not against. It's not us against them. We are on their side. But we cannot reward poor training or poor riding.
And once you get into the judge's box, you're there for a duration, and keeping that schedule tight is really important for everybody concerned, right, when it comes to a show schedule. And what have you learned that would help other judges?
Well, it is the judge's responsibility to stay on time throughout the show. It's not always easy because some shows schedule things very tightly. I once had a show secretary say, well, we had to schedule it that tight because we couldn't fit all the riders in.
Yeah.
But so show management, and most shows these days do know how often they should schedule, how at what intervals they should schedule. But sometimes it is a little bit tight, and it's the hard thing is that you can try to cut down on the time in between the rides. You can't cut down the time of the ride because it is what it is. The horse moves only so quickly through the movements. But you can try to cut down on the time between the rides. You can ask the ring steward to send the next rider in as quickly as possible. You can ask your scribe to please help keep you on time by keep telling you what whether you're ahead, behind, or with the schedule. When judges judge through the test, it's necessary for them to learn to keep a running mental tape in their head so that at the end of the test, they have only to record their comments and scores in the collectives and compose a concise further remark. You know, the judge may have to ring the bell for the next horse while still completing a few words of the summary of the further remark, but you can only do as much as you can do. And if it gets a little behind, it's unfortunate. Scratches help that situation sometimes.
Well, in there, I think, is possibly a message or two for riders. What can they do to help themselves and help the show organizers and particularly the judges?
Well, I just like to add on the last subject that the scribe can also help by avoiding conversation with other people. For instance, with the runner or with the e-scribe or with the... with somebody that might be sitting, a trainee who might be sitting in the box. It's very distracting when the judge is trying to formulate the further remarks and do the collectives to have chatter in the background. So that's the other thing I'd like to add to that. But then as far as the riders, if they can be sure that they're on time and right there for the and check in with the ring steward and help in that way. But that's really all they can do to help out with the time thing. But I would encourage riders further to understand the purpose of each movement. This helps with the judging process. If the rider understands the purpose of each movement and each test, and that understand that the judge is evaluating them according to the purpose of each level. And I would encourage riders to use the progression of tests as a training tool. Very often you see riders just come and they ride training 3, first 3, second 3, third 3, fourth 3, and they don't use the ones and twos of each level. It's been explained to me that it's very expensive to do that, but the tests are designed as a progression, not only from one level to another, but within each level, the tests are designed to be increasingly more difficult. And when a rider presents itself, say, at second level test 3, that tells the judge that the rider thinks that it's close to third level. When a rider presents at second level test one, it means that the rider is just coming up from first level. So when the rider skips from training three to first three to second three and so on, they're skipping some important elements of the training. So it's important for them to know that. They also should read the directive ideas and understand that they're a guide to what the judge is looking for and at, and to understand that the judge is evaluating the basics according to the pyramid of training and the criteria as it's stated in the rule book in each movement. Again, I come back to using the USEF rulebook as a resource.
Important reference there. And you mentioned the scribes earlier, Marilyn, and for them not to be distracted by the runner or the e-scribe, you know, in order to keep the pace and the timing on schedule. What other attributes do you think, if anyone's listening, think they might want to be a scribe one day, what would your advice be to them?
Well, the teamwork between the judge and the scribe is paramount. A good scribe is valuable to the judge, and a scribe that doesn't follow the guidelines as addressed in the checklist, the judge's checklist, makes the judge's job more difficult. It's essential that the scribe write down exactly what the judge says without paraphrasing and without leaving out a part of the comment. For instance, if the judge says, clear rhythm but should stretch to outer rein, and gives a 7, and the scribe just writes down clear rhythm and leaves out but should stretch to the outer rein and gives a 7, then there's no explanation for the 7. So the rider is left wondering why the judge removed 30% of the score. And judges don't have time, especially with a tight schedule, to read every word that the scribe has written down. So now the judge has assumed that her entire comment has been written down, and in fact, it has not been a complete comment, so it has not explained to the rider how she could make a 7, an 8, 9, or a 10. And so incomplete comments can make the judge look inept.
Right, very important there to be a quick writer as well. Is there anything else, Marilyn? Because scribes are so key to an efficient judge's box, aren't they?
Absolutely. Well, it's good if they get there early enough to check that the current tests have been provided, to check that the order of the tests on the clipboard coincides with the order of go on the day sheets, and that the scribe should write down the number of the horse that actually appears on the bridle number, not assuming that the number on the day sheet is correct. So, yes, go ahead.
No, and that was very important, I think, in any equestrian event too, that to note that it's the actual bridle number that you need, not the number on the piece of paper, because it might not tally.
It might not, and then you get it back from the show office, and they say, what's up?
Exactly.
It's always distracting to see the show manager coming out to the judge's box.
Yes, very, I'm sure, very disconcerting, and that will disrupt the schedule.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm sure, having so much experience in the judge's box there, Marilyn, you've got lots of stories that I'm sure would make a wonderful memoir.
Yes, I'm often told I should write a book.
Is there any final advice you'd like to give to our members on the subject of the perspective from the judge's box, Marilyn?
Yes. The best advice I can give to trainers and riders is to take the A, B, and C sessions of the USDFL program, or at least audit them, for an understanding of the judging process. You know, you can never talk to me without my putting in a plug for the L program.
Very important. Well, we appreciate your input, Marilyn, as always, and all the work that you do from the judge's box. Thank you so much for coming on the program again.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And you can read Marilyn's complete article in the May issue of the USDF Connection magazine, which is available online as well as in the hard copy, and also on the new USDF Connection app. And now in our education segment, the USDF certified instructor Janice Etzold is here to tell us why symmetry is important for every rider at every level. Janice, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks for having me.
So, an important topic in itself, symmetry. Where would you like to start?
Well, first I want to talk about what symmetry is. Second, I'll explain how it applies to riding and describe an exercise for testing it. And then to wrap up, I'll suggest ways thinking about symmetry can help in your mental practice as well. That way you can be working on your riding even if you're stuck in traffic or waiting to pick up your kids. So symmetry is defined as the condition or quality of being well-proportioned or well-balanced. For our purposes, I like to stretch the definition a little bit and use it as a broad concept to organize our thinking and sense of feel for alignment, straightness, and suppleness. I use symmetry as an umbrella concept for my favorite teaching and riding question. Am I mirroring or am I modeling? That is, am I mirroring my horse's faults in my own body, or am I modeling through correct posture and position what I would like my horse to be doing? So for our purposes, symmetry is about whether we can perform the same movement in the same way, both directions, and if we can align our bodies in the best way along the line of travel and invite the horse to come with us. The simplest way to make a symmetry assessment is on a 20-meter circle. I like to start with gates of cones, marking each point of the circle to help with accuracy. A freshly groomed sand arena will give you great feedback on your rate of success. Ride the circle in all three gates and notice where you leave a track. If the track you leave is fairly narrow and the same on all parts of the circle, then you're doing very well. Then ride the circle in the other direction and see if the track remains the same. If it gets broader, where the circle is no longer circle-shaped, then you have discovered an asymmetry. Try riding the circle and walk, thinking about even weight on your sitting bones, even stretch from hip to armpit on both sides of your body, and level shoulders. Next, think about your body from above. Are you sitting arranged along the line of the circle, eyes tracking the circle, inside leg and hip slightly in front, and inside hand just ahead to be sure it has no backward action? Then check in with your horse. Is he matching your good alignment and posture? Are his shoulders turning along the circle line, or is your circle getting deformed by a shoulder going out, haunches coming in, or the neck overbending to the inside? After you've done this work and you get you and your horse in good balanced posture, aligned along the line of travel, you will notice an amazing thing happens. Things get easier. If you have struggled with the feeling there is always too much to do, too many aids you have to apply to get the job done, then doing your practice under the symmetry concept will help catch and fix the parts that need to come into alignment, and you will feel the joy of flow, harmony, and power. Once you do this exercise several times, you will begin to notice some familiar patterns. Perhaps you will find that your right shoulder is always a bit low because you collapse on the right side. And this goes together with your horse stepping wide in the left time. These patterns tend to be consistent for a team because our bodies move in the way that is normal or habitual for us, but not in a balanced, symmetrical posture. When you've discovered your asymmetry, that knowledge can make your weakness into a strength both on and off the horse. Most of us do not get enough time to ride, but we can use our non-riding time to improve our skills. First, start by visualizing riding a simple exercise. Next, think about how the asymmetries you now know about will affect the flow of that exercise. Then think about the feeling of correcting those flaws in your body and hold the feel of that better balance while you visualize riding the exercise again. Think about how easy the movement will be to perform when you and your horse are a harmonious, symmetrical, well-balanced team. This thinking practice will help you if you are riding the movements of a walk trot test or the canter half passes in the I-1. The next time you go out to ride, try going on a voyage of discovery. Ask yourself, am I mirroring or modeling? Am I demonstrating the best balanced posture I can? Am I asking my horse to go along in the same way so we can be in harmony? Working on symmetry is a lifelong project for all riders, but every increment of improvement you strive to make will pay big dividends for you and your equine partner.
All right. Well, thank you very much indeed for that, Janice. We appreciate you taking the time to come on the program and sharing that with us.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate being here.
And as I mentioned, Janice is a USDF certified instructor, and you can find the full list of the USDF certified instructors by going to the USDF website at usdf.org and clicking on the education tab there for the full list of instructors and officials. And there'll also be a link in the show notes accompanying this episode. Whilst you're on the website, don't forget to check out eTrack for more educational resources and topics of interest to dressage riders. And as well as the new USDF Connection app, you can follow us on social media via Facebook and Twitter. And if you prefer to listen to the podcast on the go, you can download it directly from the iTunes podcast store. It's a free subscription and available to all smartphone and other mobile devices on any podcast app. And that's it for this week's program. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.